I invite you to stand in body or spirit for the gospel reading from John. Jesus said, "When the advocate comes, whom I will send to you from the Father, the Spirit of truth who comes from the Father, he will testify on my behalf. You also are to testify because you have been with me from the beginning. But I have said these things to you so that when their hour comes, you may remember that I told you about them. I did not say these things to you from the beginning because I was with you. But now I am going to him who sent me. Yet none of you asks me, 'Where are you going?' But because I have said these things to you, sorrow has filled your hearts. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is to your advantage that I go away, for if I do not go away, the advocate will not come to you. But if I go, I will send him to you. And when he comes, he will prove the world wrong about sin and righteousness and judgment. About sin, because they do not believe in me. About righteousness, because I am going to the Father and you will see me no longer. About judgment, because the ruler of this world has been condemned. I still have many things to say to you, but you cannot bear them now. When the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you into all the truth. For he will not speak on his own, but will speak whatever he hears. And he will declare to you the things that are to come. He will glorify me, because he will take what is mine and declare it to you. All that the Father has is mine. For this reason, I said that he will take what is mine and declare it to you." This is the good news. Please be seated. Well, happy Pentecost, friends. Pentecost is often celebrated as the birth of the church by Christians around the world. The time at which the Holy Spirit somewhat intensely and certainly memorably descended on a huge group of people all at once, empowering them to spread the good news of Jesus' liberating love for all people. But Pentecost is not the starting point of the story. This event is best understood by knowing why that huge group of people were gathered together in the first place. See, they had come for the Feast of Weeks, a Jewish holy day. The Feast of Weeks commemorates the first fruits of the grain harvest, and it's associated with the giving of the Torah, or God's law, on Mount Sinai. In other words, this festival was founded as a celebration of the God who abundantly blessed the people with sustenance and daily bread, and who gave them guidelines to help them live well together in community. During the Feast of Weeks, people gathered to remember a God of nourishment and healthy community. And yet, the people who were gathered in that room weren't all from the same community. We heard, or maybe read, the many different nations they hailed from because they were the diaspora. If you remember in the days of the Old Testament stories, the Jewish people had been exiled out to several other surrounding lands, and although some of them had eventually been allowed back, many continued their lineage in those foreign lands. And the scattered Jewish people were known as the diaspora. They still made every effort to pilgrimage to Jerusalem for the holy days, including the Feast of Weeks. Because even though they were divided by new cultures and new languages and no longer appeared to have much in common, they did have one very important thing in common. They were Jews. They understood themselves to be set apart for holy purpose. They were loyal to the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And as they gathered from what was understood to be the ends of the earth, the Spirit showed up in a mighty way with wind and tongues of flame, and then all of a sudden, they were each speaking and understanding new languages. It sounds amazing. But to someone who's overstimulated really easily, it also sounds terrible. Can you imagine the noise? It's a really interesting and cacophonous choice to have everyone speaking at once in a multitude of languages. Personally, my instinct would have been to have everybody speak the same language. Keep it simple, keep it easy, keep it quiet, keep it calm. But as I think almost daily, and as I'm sure you all think at least once a week on Sundays, it is a good thing that I am not God. Can you imagine how quickly the people would have been up in arms about which particular language had been chosen over all the others, and what did that mean for the status and the hierarchy of God's people and all these nations they now hailed from. Can you imagine the mess as everybody was pitted against each other? Instead, how beautiful and remarkable that the Spirit gave credence to all of their languages, to all of their cultures. The point wasn't to make them the same again. It was to help them lean in toward each other, seeing each for who they already were. The Spirit encouraged unity, but seemed uninterested in uniformity, because it was their unity that was needed to get the message back out to the ends of the earth. They would need to know that they weren't alone, that they had others out there doing the same work, that they could fall back on each other for rest and discernment and collaboration. I mean, for some, this might have been the first time after being scattered that they could feel less lost and isolated. So the Spirit sustained this new group, this church, with new hope, new identity, the strength they needed to be church united, and then sent them back to their own languages and cultures, equipping them to each uniquely reach their particular neighbors. So if unity was important, uniformity would have ruined the potential for a far-reaching impact. I don't think it's a coincidence that Pentecost happened at the Feast of Weeks. It's the reason Jesus' story spread the way that it did. The Holy Spirit itself is a manifestation of the God of nourishment and healthy community. But why does that matter for us today? What difference does it make the way the church started or the way the message spread? Well, friends, Pentecost is not just a celebration of the past. It's a reminder that this same nourishing and unifying Spirit is still at work in and through, around, and among us, as promised by Jesus in the gospel we read. We are still infused with a Spirit who nourishes and strengthens and gathers community, who empowers that community with holy purpose, and who sends that community back out to share the life-giving news of God's love for all people, broadening the community and repeating the cycle. As I look around this place, we don't have everything in common. We come from different faith backgrounds, different parts of this city or different cities entirely. We represent different ages, different races, different gender identities and sexual orientations, different family configurations. We have different abilities, different educational backgrounds, different vocations and skill sets. We operate out of different political ideals, different passions and dreams, even different interpretations of Scripture. And it would be so easy, like the rest of the world, to get caught up in our many differences, to see our diversity as a weakness or a hindrance to moving forward together. We could pit ourselves against each other, and we could fight to see who's best or who's right, who's in and who's out. But we, like those gathered at Pentecost, have one very important thing in common. We are centered around and loved by a God of nourishment and healthy community. We are led by the same Jesus of love and hope and life. We are stirred up by the same Spirit of unity. What a gift. In a world that subtly, although not so subtly sometimes, demands uniformity, to be able to show up in this place, in all of our beautiful and vibrant diversity, and find genuine welcome, real connection, joyful celebration, and full trust. In the Spirit, we are truly invited to come as we are, not how someone else thinks we should be. And this is the essence of embodied faith. If you've not heard this phrase before, embodied faith is one that is practiced and worked out through our lived experiences. showing up in and from our own contexts and understanding that they shape the way we follow Jesus, even if we're not aware of that. It's a beautiful thing, but if we're going to practice embodied faith, it means we must also honor the context that other people are showing up in, knowing that it shapes the way that they follow Jesus, even if they are not aware of that. And it's because of, not in spite of, because of our embodied faith that we can have a broader reach with God's love. We can be that much more impactful because we can each take this amazing news to our own jobs and schools and teams and neighborhoods in our own unique ways. So happy Pentecost, friends. It's not an ancient story of what has been. It's the story of who we are today and how we are sent. You will probably not, in this worship service, hear rushing wind or see tongues of flame. Please do not expect to leave this place speaking or understanding a new language unless you are using Rosetta Stone or Duolingo. But do expect that the Spirit is still at work, calling you to be boldly you, because it's time to share some love as a united church. We have a message to share, and we are in this together. Thanks be to God. Amen. Would you pray with me? God, we thank you for the gift of your wild, untamed, undomesticated Spirit who shows up and shakes up. Help us to receive the Spirit and to strap in and hold on tight and be ready for wherever you are sending us, but to trust that we are in it together, that you have called us exactly as we are, and that we are loved as we go. In Jesus' name, amen.